We praise you and we thank you for this day and the people that you have brought here today. I know that certainly today, as any other day or even more than other days, I am certainly not worthy to be the vessel that speaks your words. But I'm willing to stand here and I pray that the words that come out of my mouth will be yours, and that the things that people need to hear are the things that they will hear. And that for everyone who is gathered today, that you would bless us, that you would continue to be the center of our lives. And in your son's name we pray, amen. So, about 200 miles south of Salt Lake City, Utah, which is in the west of the United States, there's a giant grove of aspen trees. Aspen trees are like this picture you'll see on the screen here. They're these very tall, very skinny trees. They sort of look like Pastor Andrew. I'm more like an oak. Andrew's more like an aspen. They're tall and skinny. They have this sort of lightly colored bark, and they have thousands and thousands of these little tiny leaves that are like the size of my fingers here, making a circle. And the reason that they're called quaking aspens is because with even the slightest bit of breeze, the leaves on these trees, they shake back and forth. And so when there's thousands of them on a tree and there's a breeze blowing, it looks like these trees are quaking, which is why they're called quaking aspens. And this particular grove of trees that I'm talking about in Utah, what's interesting about it is it's actually what's called a clonal colony of one quaking aspen. So what it means is that all of the trees that are in this particular aspen grove really are just one living organism. And this living organism has been aged at about 80,000 years, according to several different scientific studies, which is really incredible when you think about it. You think about how old that is for one living organism. And you can see here in this picture how big this aspen grove is. According to one of my new favorite websites, which is www.treehugger.com, which I didn't know existed, this aspen grove covers more than 100 acres. There's about 40,000 trees in this grove. And the whole thing is estimated to weigh something like 6,000 tons. So it is a gigantic colony or community of trees. The other thing that's interesting about it is the reason that it's lived for so long is that the root system that exists underneath the ground really has never stopped living. When there's been forest fires, when there's been climate change, when there's been people, no matter what has happened to this aspen grove, even when all the trunks disappear, the root system underneath stays alive and it regrows the trees. And what you see with that is that this grove of trees has a pretty amazing root system to cover that much space and to be alive for that long and to live through all of that different types of attacks, you could say, on the trees. And as we look into our scriptures today, and there's a lot of them, so you'll have to bear with me on that, you will see that we have a pretty amazing root system as well as believers in Jesus Christ. For most of us, the idea of living in a community with other people is a pretty easy concept to grasp. Living like this group of trees all together with one root system, it's pretty easy to grasp. All of us are here today in this church, presumably because we want to fellowship with one another, because we want to be in a community of believers. And most of us are at least familiar with the concept of the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, and up on the screen, it says, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others." In our secular lives, away from church, the idea of living in a community is also quite an easy one. We work at companies. We have groups of friends, we spend time with our families. In fact, there's very little that we do today that we do all by ourselves. A common thing you hear people say is when you're trying to raise children is it takes a village. And that's literally a true statement. You need to have more people to help you with that. And what's interesting about this idea of living in a community is we often call it having roots. We say we live in a community and that's where my roots are. Or say, I'm going to move somewhere new and I'm going to put down some roots and I'm going to stay there And that's where I'm going to raise my family, and that's where I'm going to live my life. Again, just like a grove of trees all living together, we somehow find it easy to understand that there's a sense of belonging and groundedness that comes from living in community. In this community, however, at UCB, we have a unique challenge, and it's that we are a very transient community of people. I myself and my family, we've lived here for 2 years, and honestly, I don't know how much longer we will live here. We have many members every year in May or June. We have a leaving sermon that Pastor Andrew does, because we have a big portion of our community that leaves because they get a new assignment in another embassy somewhere in the world, or they get a new job posting, or they've served whatever they were supposed to do here and they move on. And then every August, we get a whole new influx of people. And while we do have a very solid group of people that are here all the time and that live here and are permanently here, we are a very transient community. And somehow, that idea of having roots when you live in a transient community is easy to ignore. Even if we all have it inside of us, even if we all know that we should live that way, somehow we just don't feel like it's something that we can do sometimes. We think, well, I'm only going to live here for a little bit of time, so it's not really worth the effort to get to know all of these people or to put down roots. Many of you know that my wife, Jenny, and I, my family, we've moved across the world, across the U.S., every few years in my career. And several years ago, about 15, 16 years ago, we moved to Tucson, Arizona, which is in the west of the U.S. in a desert. And my wife, Jenny, was pregnant with our first son, and we knew we were going to be there for 6 months. We moved in September, and we knew in February we were going to leave. And when we lived in Tucson, we didn't meet anyone new. We didn't go to church. We didn't even get to know my coworkers or our neighbors in the apartment complex that we lived. We literally spent time just with each other. And that was great for us as a couple. But we ignored all of the community that was around us in the desert in Arizona. And deserts are interesting because they're very barren landscapes, right? They have lots of dirt, lots of rocks. They tend to be very large and expansive, and they have beautiful landscapes. In the deserts of Jordan, there is a national park that's called Wadi Rum, and this is a picture of a tree in Wadi Rum. Wadi Rum is famous because it's used as a filming location for lots of movies. If you've seen Lawrence of Arabia, or the movie The Martian, or last year, Star Wars Rogue One came out. All of those films are filmed inside this park because it's so beautiful. And one of the lesser known sort of landscapes is this particular tree that sits all by itself. And it's green, looks like a normal tree anywhere else, except that it's not surrounded by anything else. And I can tell you, it's a bit how my wife and I felt in the desert in Arizona, that we were alone and that we weren't going to be there very long. And so it's not really worth putting down roots because we are going to leave anyways. And what I want to tell you and what we're going to look at in our scriptures today is that it's really just not true. We are not like this tree in Wadi Rum all by itself. No matter where we are, no matter where we live, we are like the grove of aspen trees, which is called the trembling giant. We were made to live in a community with everybody else who is around us. And that's our outline for today. For those of you that want to take notes, first is we were made for a community. We were made to have roots. But more importantly, the second part of our outline is that the root of our lives must be in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. I'm going to read our main verse for today. It comes from Ephesians chapter 3. 17 through 19, it says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. The flower fades and the grass withers, but the word of God endures forever. Amen." You guys can take a seat. Thank you. So as I was preparing for this sermon, I've learned probably more than I ever wanted to know about trees and roots, if you can imagine by my introduction. And I think most of us know inherently what's the purpose of roots, but for those who don't spend a lot of time in seventh grade science class, I got this. It says that there's two main purposes for the roots. First, they provide the support to the tree. They're what keeps the tree from falling over, of course. And number two, they are the system of nourishment for the tree. That's what brings the food and the water and everything to the core of the tree so that it can continue to grow. And as I said before, it's how most of us, this is how we view the community of people that we live in. It's why we say we have roots. It's a group of people that we live life with. It's how we have support when we have tough times. It's how we encourage one another, how we have relationships. And it's a way for us to have some kind of nourishment, some kind of energy to keep moving forward. Now, most people picture the roots of the tree like this picture that was up on the screen. It sort of looks like the roots in the ground look like a reflection of what's above the ground, right? It looks like the crown of the tree or the top of the tree underneath the earth. When in fact, the roots of a tree, normally what they do is they look like this. Okay, so they're spread really, really wide. And the ones closest to the middle are thicker and stronger, and the ones on the end are a lot thinner, some of them like a string even. And they're not very deep. They only go about 6 to 8 inches. Most tree roots only go 6 to 8 inches below the surface. And again, the community that we have is really like wide-spreading roots of a tree, the community of people that we live in. We start out making in a new community some relationships. We make some new friends. And over time, those friends that we meet become closer friends. Some of them go away. But we keep looking. The longer we're in a community, the wider and bigger our circle of friends becomes, which is just like the roots on the tree. In the middle, they're thicker, they're stronger. And on the end, you're constantly looking for new, the trees are looking for new ways to find nourishment. And this process of living in community is vitally important to us as Christians. I'm going to go through a whole series of Bible verses here, and I'm going to read them, but I'll show you the verses on the screen, not all the words, but the chapter and verse so that you can write them down if you'd like, that really backs up this idea that this is a part of how we were made and a part of the way we are expected to live in God's plan. So the first group of verses is how life together gives us peace, gives us hope and love. In Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 7, it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united together in mind and thought." The next group of verses talks about how we can help each other, how we encourage each other, even how we hold each other accountable in a community of believers. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some of us have the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." 1 Thessalonians, "Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." And the last group of verses, how we should live together with all types of people and in all types of situations. In Romans chapter 12, again, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." And finally, in Philippians chapter 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but of each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So you can see in all of those examples, or here in all of those examples, that we were made to have a community. We were made to live with one another, to break bread, to carry each other's burdens, to mourn with each other, to rejoice, to help each other, to hold each other accountable when we're going astray. There's only one problem with a community of people here on earth, and that's that people are sinners. No matter which community you're in, whether it's here at United Church or it's somewhere not in a church or whatever it is that it may be, we are all sinners. Too often we cling to the idea that the community we live in is what defines us, or really you spend the most time with. For me, that's my wife and my three kids, plus one other, so I guess I'm like to play video games and do the stuff my kids like to do. But even if you buy into that idea that you are the average of those five people, even if those people are good and decent, they are still sinners. And it means that no matter how hard we try, we can't get away from our sin and the fact that no matter how hard we try, we will still always be sinners. We fall hardest into this trap when it comes to the church. We believe that the people that show up in church are good, God-fearing, they are people that we want to be around, and they are free of sin somehow. But it's just not true. As my wife likes to say, the church is like a hospital. Sick people go to a hospital, and sinners come to the church. And I think that's something that's hard for us to remember when we are in a community of people that we know have put their faith in Jesus Christ. The best we can do is be like Paul in Corinthians, as he describes as an imitator of Christ. But even then, we are still just being imitators. Now, I want to be very clear here. I'm not saying that we don't have a wonderful community here at UCB. We do. We are blessed to have a pastor that loves Jesus and believes that the Bible is the ultimate authority in our lives. And we have leadership, and we have volunteers, and we have people that work with our children on Sunday mornings and on Friday evenings, and they all love God. But at the end of the day, we are still sinners. Pastor Andrew, myself, the elders, the deacons, anybody that is here, we are all people, and we are all sinners. And the sooner we can admit that fact, the sooner we can transform or begin our transformation into a real community. If you remember Brian's four steps to cooperation from last week, you have admission, trust, transformation, and then redemption. We have to admit and understand that we are all sinners. And we have to trust that God has put us here and he has given us this urge to live in community for a reason. And then we can begin that transformation. I like the way that it's said in a book called Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and it's up on the screen. It says, disillusionment with our local church is a good thing because it destroys our false expectations of perfection. The sooner we give up on the illusion that the church must be perfect in order to love it, the sooner we quit pretending and start admitting that we are all imperfect and need grace. This is the beginning of a real community of believers. And that's the key, the grace that we all need. The grace that was given when Christ took our sin, was crucified, died on the cross, and most importantly, rose 3 days later. Sure, we are made to have roots. We are made to live with other people. But it is just not enough if we believe that the community of people we live in are the roots of our lives. The love of Jesus is the root, singular, that we need. Without the redemptive grace given by his sacrifice, we really can't be a group community of believers loving each other and living life together the way that God intended. So you remember the picture of the way the tree roots really grow? Show up on the screen again. You see in the middle, right below the trunk, there's one root that's deeper or lower than all of the other ones. This root sometimes is a group of roots that are called heart roots for certain types of trees. For others, it's in fact just like that picture. It's like a single root that goes deeper into the ground, and sometimes has some other roots spreading off of it. This is the root that grew first, typically. It's the one that really sustains the tree, that keeps it standing upright, and it's the one that provides the most nourishment to the tree. If the tree didn't have that root, it eventually would wither, would die, it would fall away. And this is what Christ should be for us. In Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7, it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." If Christ is our root, we can be built up, we can be strengthened, we can be overflowing with thankfulness and with joy. You remember our first verse, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints," together in community with people, "to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Once we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, once we've acknowledged the only thing that can save us is the gift of grace, then this is what should become the root of our lives. Having that one root in Jesus will allow us to build a community that's wide and long like the roots of a tree. If you have already accepted the saving grace of Jesus today, then live in the community here with all of the people that are around us so that you can continue to be strengthened, so that you can have someone to help carry your burdens. Use all of the resources that we have here in this church to continue to make Jesus the root of your lives. If you go back to the description in Romans of the body of Christ after verses 4 through 5, it continues until verse 8, and it says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." You can see that we all have our own gifts. We all have our part to play in the community. And we have to bring those gifts wherever we are, no matter how long we are there. If you are still searching, if you're still trying to figure out what does it mean, the saving grace of Jesus, if you're asking yourself, why am I sitting here and an elder that's not the pastor is talking about trees and roots, then talk to the people around you. Live in community with these people as well. Come and talk to one of the elders or Pastor Andrew and share your story. We'd love to share ours and talk to you about the grace of Jesus and how it can transform your life and how it can give you the ability to live in community no matter where you are, no matter how long you are there. See, once as Christians, we have accepted Jesus' love and we are built up and strengthened in him and we are overflowing with thankfulness, then we can live in community as described by all those verses that I shared earlier. You can love one another as Christ loves us. We can live in peace and break bread with sincere hearts and have fellowship with one another. We can rejoice and mourn with those who need it, especially when they need it. We can take each other's burdens, and we can hold each other accountable. If Christ is the root of our lives, then we can live in community with anyone, and we can live in community anywhere. And that's the final point I want to leave with you today. We have an incredible community here at UCB. God has placed each one of us here, in this church, in this time, with a purpose, to be a part of the body of Christ, as it says in Romans chapter 12. Many of you give to the church in your offering, you serve in Sunday school, or as a deacon, or an usher, or whatever the case may be, you encourage one another. Some are called to lead or teach or do other things in this community. But it is not necessarily true that we will always be here. In fact, for many of us, we know we will not always be here. We cannot know what God has planned for us. We cannot know when we are going to move. We cannot know where we are going to go. But if we are rooted in him, then we can make a community wherever that may be. We can have roots wherever he may take us. The second half of the book of 1 Samuel tells the story of David before he became the king of Israel. So It starts around the time when this infamous story of David and Goliath that I think almost everybody knows. And it progresses through a period of tribulation and struggle for David as he knows he's anointed for great things, but he keeps being chased by King Saul, who wants to destroy him. In chapter 22, David flees to the cave at Adullam, where he finds himself among a motley crew of distressed, indebted, discontented strangers. People that probably today we would not have the fortitude or the desire to spend a lot of time around. And David knew that he was going to be moving on to bigger and better things. But David did not turn from them. He did not say, I don't have the time. I'm going to leave anyways. It's just not worth the effort. David became their leader. And he lived in community with them. And he continued to strengthen his faith. While he was in that cave, David wrote Psalm 57, which was our call to worship today. And it says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over all the earth. In the midst of a strange, unknown community of drifters and forgotten people, people that were not like him, David was so overflowing with thankfulness that he wrote a song about how great is the love of God. A song that even today is an exaltation that inspires people to drop to their knees, to give their lives, to give their faith, to give everything they have to God. And that right there is why it's worth the effort. No matter how long you're going to be there, if we live together in Christ's love, wherever we are, we have the power to show God's grace and mercy to others. Don't miss the chance that we have sitting here for however long you may be here. Don't live like we did in the desert for 6 months in Arizona thinking that it's just not worth the effort to be in the community in which we are. My prayer today is that each one of us would live life wherever we are in community with those around us, rooted in the love of Christ, and be so overflowing with thankfulness and joy that it causes all around us to draw nearer to God. Causes us to sing together, holy, 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 praise to the King of Kings.